right, let's see what we have here.
A little flyover here. Let's come around, Red 5.
I've got different coordinates than what our comm says.
That can't be.
Cut the chatter, pilots. We've got a mission to...
What was that?
Red 5.
Come around to point O2 and stabilize.
Red 5?
Stand by. I got a little trouble here.
Whoa, that was close.
I see them.
TIE fighters!
You've been spotted.
R7, we've got a rear junction relay giving it a flak back there. Yeah, I see that. Hang on to something, everyone.
This is Red 5 Mission.
Hey guys, this is Gary, and welcome to another episode of Pod Wars. On Pod Wars, we'd like to dissect Star Wars, Marvel, and our favorite little nuggets of geeky media. I'm here today with my favorite Wookiee, Justice.
Hello there. I really wanted to give
and
you a...
We are very excited to have...
I really wanted to do a Wookiee thing,
I was
going to
say,
but...
you had to give us a freaking Wookiee noise there.
Nope.
And as you can tell by the terrible impressions there that just kind of sound like people trying to... Now, we got some guests here on the show today. We got the guys Pat and Charles from Conversations. Guys, can you say hi to the folks out there?
Hi, folks. I'm Charles.
Hello there.
General Kenobi.
Such idiot. Hey, so I'm Pat. We're both of Conversations, as Gary had said. And we're happy to be here, for sure.
Absolutely.
Now, Justice, can you let the people know what we're going to be talking about today?
Sure. So for those of you who are fans, we are part of the Red 5 Network, and one of our awesome leaders, Ro, came up with an idea to do collaborations within the network, said network. So today, we're going to do a two-parter, and the first part is going to be on our podcast, and we're going to talk about droids. And Charles came up with this great thesis, and I'm going to read it to you guys just because I don't want to mess it up, but it's, how have droids changed since 1977? From comedic relief and social commentary to the reflection of the human condition. Such thoughtful words. And so, yes, we're going to dive into the everything and anything that is droids.
Full disclosure, I paid my son to write that for us.
Okay, I was just going to ask, are you sure Charles wrote that?
How much did he make?
About $20 worth of V-Bucks for Fortnite.
$20. Listen, kid, 20 credits is 20 credits. Man. Yeah, I'm super excited for this one. I know that you guys are too. So, yeah, I don't want to step on anybody's shoes here, but let's get this thing started.
Yeah, that's a great topic. I think it's going to be a cool one for all of us to cover, and we've got so much cool content all the way from the prequels all the way through to The Mandalorian, like we have from literally several hours ago to talk about, which is fantastic.
Right. So I think one of the ways that to do this that would be cool is to kind of take a step back and kind of just go over some of the history and kind of look at what's going on and where, you know, we got to this idea of droids. So let's see. The word robot occurred in a play about mechanical men, and they are built to work on factory assembly lines. This idea came from a guy from Czech named Karel Čapek. I'm probably butchered that name, in 1921. What you got? You got anything else, Gary?
And they definitely had a lot of, there's a lot of themes from that like carried over into the Star Wars droids. The thing that stuck out for me is that it was a rebellion against human masters, which totally gave me some sad L3 flashbacks there of like the rebellion kind of in Solo, Granted, we can talk more, but not huge L3 fans here. But it's cool hearing the origin of Robot.
Yeah, and that, you know, that leads into Asimov too, as, you know, another sort of mover and shaker in that robotics world, and he actually coined the word robotics. And he, you know, from a, I guess, maybe not common knowledge, but a very sort of more socially understood terms, he really did have sort of laid down that the established understanding of what robotics are. And he actually even created those three laws of robotics.
Yes. and it's interesting because in the they kind of play on this in the film I, Robot with Will Smith. And it's where the robots are, it's the future, and there's the robots. And if you haven't seen it, you can watch it. I don't need to tell you about it. But what happened is they have like three laws to protect not only themselves but humanity. And you know, they have law one: a robot may not injure a human being, or through an action allow a human being to come to harm. Law one. Law two is the robot must obey the orders given it by human beings, except where such orders would conflict with the first law. And then law three is the robot must protect its own existence as long as such protection does not conflict with the first or second laws. So basically, it's the preservation of life and self over any commands or directives.
Very cool. And, you know, we all know that Lucas was a huge fan of film history and Kurosawa and everything and all the, you know, the hero's journey. And those laws definitely sort of played into, from what I can see, and I'm pretty sure we can all see that, like some of those, not obviously direct links, but some of those governances are in there. And the term android is actually coined by special effects guru John Steers. He actually used the term android for Star Wars. And it's a registered trademark. Droid is a registered trademark of Lucasfilm. So when that movie launched in 77, not only did he popularize these sort of mechanical characters, he created almost a subset of characters that now is so commonplace that we even have, like, you know, phones like it. You know, it's just, it's ubiquitous. And not only are their characters ubiquitous, their characteristics are so well known in society that, you know, people are mimicking them all the time.
I think it'd be kind of cool if we talked about, like, do you guys think that the droids in Star Wars follow these laws? Because I feel like they break law one quite a bit with IG-11 or, you know, HK-47, to name a few. Like, Mr. are they Bones. Really following these laws?
Yeah, I think that's a very rudimentary sort of set of laws for droids.
Well,
I don't think Star Wars droids abide by that at all. Whatsoever.
What were you going to say, Gary?
But you're forgetting the fourth Asimov law of a droid is not allowed to know the language of Sith. And that one is probably the most important of all droid laws.
It is. You're right. It is the most important.
They're really good at that law.
They are. I mean, that's like, they've actually moved that law up to law number one.
1A.
All other laws may not interfere with law number one.
Unless you're in the ninth movie.
Aww.
Yeah.
That is a plot hole that we have talked about many a times on Star Wars.
But those classes what you're talking about, Justice, the classes of the droids is really interesting because there's definitely classifications in there that certainly break them down.
Yeah, right. So I thought so going into this, you know, Charles was like, hey, we're going to talk about droids. And I was thinking, like, droids, like, I don't know, that's an interesting, you know, kind of idea. And so when I started doing research, I, you know, went on some cool Wikipedia pages, and they had all these different classes for droids. So I'm going to run through them kind of quickly. But there's five classes. I mean, class one, you got skilled in mathematics, physical, and medical sciences. And the, you know, kind of, they're kind of broken down in subcategories, and basically they're really programmed to apply their knowledge to they're rarely programmed to apply their knowledge to everyday situations. And this kind of includes, you know, like the midwife droid when, you know, Padme is giving birth, or the medical droid GH7 when Luke is, you know, had been attacked and he got back to the Hoth base. Class 2, you got the skilled in engineering and technical sciences. And that kind of subcategory, you got astromax, exploration, environmental, and engineering droids. So that, you know, the pit droids, R2, R5, Chopper. I know some guys, you guys love Chopper. Class 3, we got programmed to interact with humans in social and a lot of social sciences. So that would be like C-3PO. They're said to be the most advanced droids ever. And they also got, you know, protocol, servant, tutor, and childcare. Class 4, you got programmed to fight and carry weapons. So you got security, gladiator, battle, and assassin droids. So that's your B1s, your B2s, your droidicas, IG-11s, HKs. And then the last one is your labor droids, like mining, and that no one wanted to do. So you got your general laborer, your label specialist, your hazard service, and that I think you see a lot of them more on like Mustafar in that scene. So those are your categories of droids. I think my favorite category is definitely has to be class 4, carry weapons and fight. There's a lot of them that seem to do that. But yeah.
Me, it's the nurse droid because I like the Ooba.
See, I like the nurse droid 2.0.
Oh.
Which is IG-11 reprogrammed.
Ah.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's ooh, my nurse droid. I didn't think about right that.
Mm.
Uh huh. Yep.
And he makes some great tea, probably.
That Ugnat was smart.
But like the class 2 is like the smart ass droid. Like the class 2 is the one with the sense of humor. The R2s, the choppers, like yep, those are the ones that are near and dear to my heart. I was going to say when you're going through the classes, it goes from like class 3 C3PL, you know, tutoring, childcare, and then freaking droidicas murdering people. Like it escalates rather quickly in what they class these droids in.
We all want to.
Yeah, there's no middle ground, unfortunately.
We all want to be class, you know, class 4, you know, carrying weapons. But let's be honest, we're all class 5.
Yeah.
All right. I think before we like jump into the main discussion, I think we got through the you know the history and the you know, the boring stuff. We're going to get through the cool content stuff, just the normal discussion. But I think it'd be cool just to kick off, like, why do we like droids? You know, what's special about them?
Unfortunately, all I had planned was boring stuff. So, I think I like droids because even though they're robotic, they have humanity. They have personality. And I think within Star Wars, it's funny to see these characters that are robots that you can identify with. I know Charles can identify with C-3PO. It just is what it is. And it's this sense of... sense of belonging for him with these you know, metal and wired constructed beings.
You know, you're just saying that because I've got light, like, you know, bouncing off my bald head, so it looks like C-3PO's head. That's the reason why you're saying that. That's not very nice.
I really relate to the pit droid. When I get poked in the eye, I just kind of fall into and crumple and kind of sit in the corner and cry.
We go around booping your nose.
I crumple and sit in the corner.
Oh, that's awesome.
I like droids because what I always...
But honestly, with droids, they're kind of like the comic relief.
True, true. And that's exactly what I was getting at, that you have the humans in the story, you know, whatever, they're fighting the bad guys, they're flying the ships, and either they're trying to hold it together for their love interests, or they're trying to hold it together for their fellow soldiers, when you have the droids who are exaggerating the emotions that the audience is feeling. So you've got C-3PO consistently, oh, man, you know, we're not going to make it, you know, we're doomed. You know, that's what they're allowing the audience to get into that back seat and just have the freak out session. And that's what I just love. They sort of, it's not necessarily a comedic breakpoint, which it does end up being, but it also allows the audience to jump in there and feel the feelings that honestly that they're going through, that the heroes are trying to prevent happen.
You know, how do I start this? This podcast is going to be challenging for me, and I want to get really philosophical for you guys right now, because I think Star Wars is for everyone, and everyone can, you know, enjoy every bits and a different piece of Star Wars. And I just have to be honest with you, I don't really like droids. I'm not a droid fan.
He's more of a pork guy, actually.
This is a bad episode for you, bud.
Charles messaged me on Twitter and was like, yo, we should do the droid idea. And I was like joking around with him. He's like, yeah, I'm being serious. And I was like, oh, no. No.
This is an intervention. It's not a podcast.
I was like, I'll only do it if I can talk about General Grievous.
Which I said no.
But he doesn't even really count. That's the sad part.
Yeah, we'll let him count. We'll let him.
Yeah, he's good enough.
But I really do think that there's like legit truth to that, where like there's different parts of Star Wars that you don't necessarily have to care about, but someone else is going to care about that and enjoy it and love it. And then there's going to be other parts that I really like that someone else isn't going to like, and that's the beauty of Star Wars. The universe is so massed with so many different characters that there's you can like certain things, and that's what's great about it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like the Porg fan club. I mean, that's fine. We get it. It's understandable.
Okay, well, if you're going to include General Grievous, then I'm going to include Fennec Shand then.
Oh, my God.
Spoiler alert.
If we're going to include, you know, General Grievous, can we include Darth Vader and you know, Luke, because they have robots parts on their bodies? And
they have robot parts?
I'm going to cut it off at 50% robot. At that point, anything past that, you're basically human.
Yeah, I think one robotic hand doesn't really qualify you as droid. I'm fine with talking about actual droids if we want to have an episode about droids.
Nah. But that's interesting, though, that, you know, you don't have that love for droids. I mean, it must be not a challenge, but if you're talking about how droids are used in Star Wars, you know, and the how often they not only have sometimes a very large role in the movies, they have very distinct personalities that are required for the rest of the story to actually work. So it's, how do you get over that? Sort of like, you know, if you don't like the droids, you're still allowing that story to progress, though.
Don't tell him how to live his life. He's, you know, he can do what he wants. I think this is an interesting discussion because I like droids. I know Charles likes droids. I imagine that this wouldn't have gone on without Gary being okay with droids. So I think this is an interesting discussion to have. And I'm okay with Justice being wrong on this one. It's fine.
That's all right.
Roger,
If you're a fan of the podcast, you know that when we do Star Wars trivia, I'm like 100% wrong like all the time. So it's okay.
He's a good sport. What can we say?
But I do think that, like, we were asking, like, how do I handle it? Like, it's not that I, like, hate it and it, like, takes me out of the story. I mean, there are some C-3PO moments where I'm just like, this is cringy. But maybe that's why the whole episode 9 not having the Sith language bothers me so much. Now I'm finally fully realizing it. But the, like, I love R2 moments. I love seeing him, you know, save the day. I don't mind Chopper, and, you know, L3 is an interesting character and whatnot. And like, they add so much to the Star Wars universe. I just kind of, they're just there for me.
Hmm.
Okay. I do have to say that I've played the Star Wars Battlefront 2 game.
Hmm.
And there's that droid that, you know, she's that Iden Versio has that kind of like goes on her back when she's on missions and all. And like without that dude, you ain't getting nowhere. Like you can't even get out of the first level without that guy. So, I mean, there's something to be said for their usefulness, I'm
yes,
sure.
Yes, that's like BD-1 in Jedi Fallen Order.
Honestly, though, that's what I thought of.
They're super useful, like, especially when, you know, like, the like, R2, like, getting them out of jams all the time, especially, like, in the prequels, but then, you know, when they're opening doors and whatnot, and, you know, L3 saving all her droids. But, I do have to say, I freaking hate in Battlefront 2 when the bad BB-8 is running around and you get killed by him. Makes me so mad. So mad. It's so OP. It's so dumb.
It makes me so mad. All right. All right. So just a quick aside, not to get too far off topic. So Charles and I were playing the versus mode on Battlefront one time, and I think I was, what was that? I was Anakin?
Yes.
Or Obi-Wan?
No, you were Obi-Wan. I was Anakin.
No. When you were BB-8.
Oh, yeah. Okay, yes.
I was Anakin and you were BB-8 and you actually beat me.
Yeah, because I was using my little sparkle there, my little spark thing. Yeah.
You were using it. Shut up.
Yes, but you're also like in round 3 of my BB-8, so you're like at like 20% health, and I was 100%. Okay. So let's not get too overboard.
So what you're saying is it's canon having Anakin beaten by an evil BB-8, trolling them.
Yes, we recorded it, so it's canon.
it's more so my complete and utter ineptitude at playing video games.
Fair,
and I'm a close second right there. Oh, go ahead, Gary.
But to go back on like the droid personality, I think like especially when you go back to the original trilogy and you see that initial part where Lucas goes back to his Kurosawa kind of inspirations with the Hidden Fortress and kind of those two fools with C-3PO and R2 that you mentioned kind of ground the viewer in this fantastical world. Mm-hmm. Like, that's one of the big roles of droids. So not only are they, like, a comic relief, like physically helpful in the storyline, but they ground the viewers. They give them kind of someone who's not, you know, with insane lightning hands shooting people around.
Right.
As much as we love somebody with just obscene lightning hands, like, you need that kind of element to take things back to somewhat reality, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And they also have that sense of not fatality to them where they're machines and something can mechanically go wrong. You always get this sense, too, that they're at the verge of not collapse, but maybe a faltering, malfunctioning more than the heroes. So as they move through the story and don't fail, you're like the plucky, like you said, the Kurosawa, the two bumbling fools that you have. They're your underdogs. And, you know, like you said, in the original trilogy, being part of the comedic levity of the entire movie had a very different purpose back then. And, of course, the movies were made in a different time, in a different space where, you know, Lucas was trying to bring the story to a human level. You have those very raw, basic emotions of laughter and anger and all that kind of stuff in there. But like Justice was saying, is that a need for the story? Is that just something that they have to carry it and then you move on? And in Justice's case, purely he doesn't like droids, so they just move the story along. I can get over that. Let's get to the trench run attack or something, you know.
Mm-hmm. Is R2 ever really an underdog?
I would say so. I think that, you know, he's a little shorter in stature, okay, and you know. And he goes up against some pretty significant odds, okay? So I feel like he's been eaten by swamp creatures, and he's been zapped and by Jawas and all sorts of things. I think he's certainly overcome quite a few obstacles.
He's been trolled by a Jedi Master in Empire. I mean, like...
Thank you.
So that's a lot for a little dude. Like, he's just trudging along doing his thing. His first day on the job, I mean, talk about OSHA violations, like all of his coworkers are shot out of the air within 5 minutes of his first time performing manual labor. I mean, poor R2 is just an uphill battle at all times.
And not one railing anywhere.
No. See, OSHA doesn't exist in the time of the Empire. Because they don't care.
Right.
No, Family Guy, Star Wars, and The Mandalorian have established this, and R2 is one of the chief victims among many other droids.
Right. I mean, R2 is like an underdog. He's not under tall.
But adding the human element of this, I think that, we love the prequels on this podcast, but I do appreciate in the original trilogy, like, just the fact that you can respect that there is an actor in there of smaller stature in R2 the whole time, like helping shake it around. It adds a little something to it. I don't know how to necessarily describe it, but it's both a respect for the filmmaking process and then also just the way R2's presented is different and more grounded.
Mm. Justice, that's a good question. Does that bring a difference for you? Like, if you know that, let's say, Anthony Daniels is playing, obviously, 3PO, and you got Kenny Baker in R2, does that change your perception of the droid, or, like, is it a more humanistic side to it?
It really does make it more humanistic, and I don't take anything away from them. Like, I think they do a really great job. I think that they are, like, really great actors, and, like, they do they have a great performance. I wanted to say, like, I think one of the reasons that I would say probably my favorite droid is R2, because he kind of, like, especially in the original trilogy, portrays, like, this confidence that makes him more human, whereas, you know, C-3PO is very timid and whatnot. And so I like that whole play between those two. I guess I'm not, like, I don't want to backpedal on what I said, but, like, there are elements that make it enjoyable, and that's one of them, is the humanness of the droids.
That's cool. No, that's cool.
Sure. And yeah. Like you said yourself, there are parts that some people like that other people don't. That's a part of the droid aspect that, you know, you might enjoy.
Right. Yeah. And, I mean, I love watching R2 kick some ass and beat up some B2 droids. Like, that's great. That's great stuff.
Great stuff.
Arsony droids? Hell yeah.
Fantastic. I love when he's, like, trying to keep quiet, like, when Obi-Wan's trying to communicate with him, and he puts the communicator inside. And then his echo is even louder, and he's like, burr, 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 burr.
Such a good scene.
The best.
So I'd like to hear you guys' thoughts with this, because I think as much as we're talking about how the droids added in a human element, I also think they give Lucas an excuse to be hyper-violent without having it become off-putting, especially to the younger audience. Like, they are crazy violent in the prequels, but it's against droids, so it's fine. But also, we see in Clone Wars that these droids have personalities, feelings. We especially see it with, like, Chopper and R2. And so then, like, I don't know, my existential mind's like, they're murdering a sentient being to an obscene scale. Like, you hear, like, Mace Windu in the most recent season bragging about how many droids he's destroyed. Like, do you guys feel like the humanity and the violence kind of conflict?
I certainly think that. I think that when you have the original trilogy, being made, I think from my perspective, and I grew up watching that, you've got these stormtroopers. But now, like, I'll say this. When I first saw stormtroopers, I thought they were actually robots, because you never saw them take their helmets off. So I grew up thinking...
This is the way.
This, exactly. Can't see in these things. So I had sort of an early impression that stormtroopers were already droids and not humans. But I think the mentality and the change that Lucas went through when the prequels came around, that not only for a story arc it sort of made sense, and the droid army being something that they can manufacture and then moving into the clones, I think the story-wise it was brilliant in that sense, but also the sensibility at that time had changed. I think that there's a perception that the killing of humans versus the killing of robots or droids has a very different flavor. And if you're going to launch your new era of fans with them, like you say, you know, Mace is like slaughtering B1 battle droids, it's a heck of an easier pill to swallow than these sort of nameless, soulless, mechanical droids that are just being slayed by the thousands. It's a much easier leap for people to say, oh, and get behind and go rah, rah, rah against.
But do you think that the enemy droids, the masses of the enemy droids are, you know, have this sentient self to them? Like, there's characters, you know, that are like actual droids who have like names and whatnot that, you know, they could be considered, I guess, a character. But like the masses of the B1 and the B2 battle droids, like, is it wrong for them to go and kill those people or droids? Wow.
Yeah, it's wrong for everyone to kill people, I think.
I wouldn't go that far.
All right, fine. I mean, there's some people. No, I think there's an interesting sort of duality between the droid army and the clone army. Okay, so you've got the droids being manufactured and really the clones being manufactured. Mm-hmm. And not so much in the films, but in the Clone Wars television series, you see the humanity in these characters. Mm. And it's not unbelievable to think that there could be some humanity in those droid characters as well. You know, in the B1s and the, you know, the different droid soldiers. So, you know, it's when you peel off those layers and get deeper into it, yeah, absolutely. I think that there's certainly a certain level of humanity to the robots, which is one of the wonderful things about Star Wars, is even the, you know, metal and wires, you know, characters mm-hmm. have humanistic elements to them. So I think that is, yeah, I think there's definitely a sense of, yeah, it's a robot, but it's also a character.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also got, you know, some level of sentience and some humanistic components. And, you know, to what Charles was saying, the stormtroopers in the original trilogy, it's not like it's a character with a helmet on, you know, like a helmet where you can see the face. So mm-hmm. when you see the good guys shooting these, you know, faceless bad guys, it helps to swallow that pill because you don't see their faces, and the good guys, you see their faces, you know, in the Tantive, when in the first scene, really, when the stormtroopers come through and they're killing the good guys, you're like, oh, well, these are people that are dying. And the stormtroopers, you're like, yeah, they're just these faceless thugs, you know. It helps to kind of disconnect from that. Mm-hmm. But then again, as you peel off those layers, they are people too. And the droids have, you know, we've seen the levels of personality that they have through the individual droids, like R2 and C-3PO and all, even to the ones in like Jabba's palace and everything. So, you know, it's not unrealistic to think that the droid army would have droids with personality that you're killing.
Mm-hmm.
Which, to add on to that, like, I feel like Lucas's plan kind of wanted to have the clones and the droids fairly baseless, no personality, just kind of easy things that they could kill off en masse and not mm-hmm. have it be a huge moral dilemma for the kiddos.
Mm-hmm.
And then Dave Filoni's kind of like, screw that. They're going to have in-depth personalities. And so you have to, if you watch Clone Wars and Rebels, you're like, shoot.
Yeah.
They are killing a lot of people.
Right. I feel like if you take away the TV shows, it makes it easier or more justifiable for you know, these characters, you know, these Jedi or whoever it may be, to kill all these droids. But then you add the nuances of the TV shows and it's just like, it, you know, it's like Shrek peeling back all these like onion layers.
How about like onions, right?
It's a parfait.
But that's part of the genius, I don't know how many times I've said it, of the Clone Wars, where you've greatly impacted the story of the prequel films through the television series, because you know, it's a huge gut punch, that betrayal of Order 66, because they weren't just mindless cogs being ordered around by these Jedi generals. They were their friends, and they you know, turned on them. It's terrible to watch and to feel that as the characters do.
So I guess I have multiple thoughts, and I feel like I'm the devil's advocate to everyone, which is fine. I'll be that. I'll take on that role. So I got questions for you guys. Do you feel like there's certain classes that have this a more sentient level to them than other classes? Like, I feel like the midwife droid or GH7 or, you know, the pit droid versus, you know, R2, C-3PO, like, and these, like, they have, like, some have more than others.
Possibly. I mean, like, the midwife droid basically just scooped out the baby and then let Padme die in sadness. But, like you asked me before, I would have said, yeah, probably there's some that are sentient, some that are not. But then you have the IG issue of, like, IG-88 does literally nothing in Empire. And then you got IG-11, who just kind of seems emotionless and then ends up, like, moving Mando's heart. And so, like, it just breaks down all the walls there. Like, freaking any droid can be sentient. I mean, heck, L3, too, when she becomes a part of the Millennium Falcon. Like, the Millennium Falcon is basically sentient with a personality at that point. Like, C-3PO's mentioning how it has such a strange dialect. All the walls are broken down at a certain point.
I do think, though, like, with L3, it's a little different situation because she adds a layer of sexuality to it, which completely changes, I feel like, the game. Like, we, one, have never experienced that before, and two, now you have to deal with the idea of, is there relationships that are going on between droids and humans, which we haven't experienced that before. And so I feel like she adds a whole nother layer.
Which is low-key a good idea for science fiction, but all I think of is the Futurama episode where robots are allowed to have sex, and therefore there is no human procreation because everyone just has sex with robots. And that's what ruined L3 for me. All I could think of was that, among many other things. But that's a whole side note into my psyche that nobody needs to know.
I think we might get into her a little bit later, but I just wanted, like, since we're talking about, you know, sentience and whatnot and, like, layers, I think she adds a little bit more to it, more nuances.
Did you say we may get into her a little later?
if only we weren't a semi-clean podcast.
Oh my god!
Did that get cut? That gets cut.
Yes. All right. Oh no, we're keeping that in.
We're keeping that. That's why we have our Wookiee noise sensor for a reason.
But, you know, I think you bring up a really good point, Justice, because you got...
Someone say we're going to get it later. I self-censored. Now that I know the line, I can self-censor.
Yeah, exactly.
I think the main issue here is we all know that the Gonk droid is the Forrest Gump of Star Wars.
Okay. He just doesn't run very fast.
Right. Well, I mean, in some respects, okay? He did make it into fourth grade. God bless him. But I think there are certainly certain levels. I mean, you think about a droid and it has to be programmed, okay? So depending on what it needs determines the level of personality or programming, okay? Hmm. If you're like a mouse droid that, like, does security scans to make sure, you know, nobody trips the alarm, you don't need to have a personality. You don't need to have any sort of, like, critical thinking beyond your directive. Okay?
My one, opinion against that is Rick and Morty. he made the robot whose only role was to spread butter. And he's just sitting there being like, oh God, what am I doing with my life? Like, that's where I think everything in Star Wars has to be sentient at a certain point.
You're right.
You're right. The Rick and Morty factor.
Yeah. What's your point in life? You pass the butter. Oh God.
What's the meaning of life? Just spread it, buddy.
Oh man. Do you guys think that there's people out there that ship C-3PO and R2?
100%.
Look, there are people that ship anything.
Yeah, exactly. They'll ship anything, and we're not just talking UPS.
Oh man.
I frankly don't give a. I think they're more of the Abbott and Costello. They even kind of look like them.
Absolutely. Yep.
Mm-hmm. So I feel more of them as like buddies than any sort of anything weird.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They're not Bert and Ernie.
Yeah. They don't give like Sam and Frodo kind of vibes where you're like, there's something under the table. But like, they definitely don't give that kind of vibe. But okay. Weird sexual innuendo aside, though. Oh, we can get down a rabbit hole of all of the crazy sentience of droids. But I definitely do think there is an emotional attachment the fans have to these inanimate objects that are special. That is often executed really well and sometimes not so well, arguably. Like, really well, it's executed a lot in, say, like, Rebels and basically any R2 scene. I know a lot of fans, and you guys might be in who knows what end of the spectrum, but the Rise of Skywalker with C-3PO, it didn't work as much for me. But I can see how droids provide a great vehicle just to tug at the heartstrings of the fans.
Well, I think a perfect example in Rise of Skywalker is D.O. Like, that so cute, so
absolutely
small.
Absolutely, yep.
And like, that, like, pulling on the heartstrings. Like, I mean, I sympathized when, you know, they fixed him it. And I was like, oh my gosh, like, that's so adorable. Like, Star Wars is so good at doing that.
What I find interesting with those emotions, just like you said, Justice, is a perfect time because you've got Dio, who is literally playing the sort of the wounded soul and the heart of that movie. You know, like, I'm sad, I'm happy, thank you, I'm angry, I'm scared. Literally those raw emotions. If you then look back throughout the entire saga, or even the prequels, depending on how you want to look at it, if you start imbuing evil into the character and the droids, and we had a little bit of it with The Mandalorian, you know, where Quill literally changed IG-88's programming from good to bad, or sorry, from bad to good. But you got like many examples of purely bad droids that then allows you, again, still being interesting characters, moving the plot, but they're inherently evil. Like, how is it any easier for those droids then to be thrown aside, killed? You know, not garbage, but like 000, for example, is a good example. Or even like your beloved General Grievous. You know, those evil parts of it where the programming is either changed from the inception to where it has become allows those heroes to be even more heroic while not taking out like a human character or an alien character.
But okay, you mentioned 000. Justice, for our lovely casual fans out there, can you break down 000? Because we got a love on that character a little bit.
For sure. If you, we love plugging our own crap in our own episodes. So you go listen to our Star Wars Darth Vader breakdown, part one. And basically, Kieran Gillian wrote a Star Wars comic and he introduced characters. And one of the things that he did was like the exact opposite of like the main characters that we see in OT. So one of them was 000. And he is basically an assassin droid that is designed just like C-3PO, and he is like the comedic relief in the comics. His whole thing is he gets off on killing people, and if he doesn't kill people or torture people, then he's not doing his job, and if his master is not giving him the ability to do that, then he's going to turn on him because that is his MO. And I personally put this in the notes so that we could talk about it because, one, I think he's a great character and he adds a whole lot to the Star Wars universe. But two, like, there's two things that I want to talk about. So one, you had just said, like, the, you know, we're talking about, like, it's harder to toss aside these characters that are evil. And I would say that wouldn't it make it easier for these, you know, these good characters to realize, like, if I take out this droid, less people are going to die. Humans are going to die. So I should take them out. And then the other thing that I'm thinking about is, and this is like one of the main concepts that, you know, Triple Zero is trying to, you know, wrestle with, is if you take human blood and you incorporate it into a droid and that human blood has the ability to interact with the Force, is that droid able to use the Force?
Ooh. Wow.
Well, then you get into the hardcore fan thing of, is the Force a life force surrounding us, or is it purely just midichlorians? And that's going to make, you know, the original trilogy fans break out into a rash. And, like, I don't have an EpiPen on me for everybody listening to this podcast right now, and that's going to be a tough one. But I would say no, because, okay, going deep into the nerd hole, Charles Soule, his run, he shows Vader in the dark side of the Force, except for the areas that were parts of his body that were robotic. And I would say that the usage of the Force is very much tied to the physical. And just because you got a random appendage that's slightly human doesn't mean you can use the Force. Same thing with Grievous. Love him to death, but like, he's not a Force user. He's more of a glorified ceiling fan with a shit ton of lightsabers. Like, that's kind of his thing.
Getting a rash, okay?
You know, you brought up something really interesting, Gary, the whole idea of what is the Force, and I think there's the two sides to it, and we can get really into it if we really want to, where, like, there's, like, the cosmic Force, which is, like, creating destiny and, you know, that whole thing, and then there's the everyday, you know, life force that we can, you know, interact with, or, you know, stones have force and like force, like they can, you know, everything's connected. And so, you know, I feel like the Sith and the Jedi are able to tap into, you know, this life force, but then the power cosmic force is what's like causing the Skywalker family to like go through all these events.
Dude, you're getting too much in your Marvel front with the power cosmic coming on here.
Sorry. Cosmic force.
Sorry. I think before we get too far removed from BT and Triple Zero here, I think I'd be remiss if I didn't say that they're basically R2 and C-3PO with goatees.
Classic Star Trek move.
I knew Trek would get it.
That's not just a... Come on, it's a Fu Manchu. Come on, let's be real.
Oh.
But there's one other character who, from the Aftermath series, Mr. Bones, who's really, really cool. I was a B-1 battle droid and appeared only in the Aftermath series and was actually a very strong ally for Snap Wexley, who we did see in the sequel trilogy. And was very interesting because early and when I was reading that series, he described... Snap, that is, described someone, I can't remember the character who he was describing him to, and he was describing where Mr. Bones' programming came from. And because Mr. Bones is very similar to like an HK-47, very, you know, very, it's not an assassin droid, but extremely loyal to Snap, an extremely efficient killer. And he had said that he had been mixed with programming of various tacticians and various fighting techniques and had programming from a certain general in the Clone Wars. And that's as ambiguous as it was, okay? So when I read that line, the first thing I thought of was Anakin. And so I was telling Pat, I read that line. When I got home, I texted him. I said, oh, man, it's this really cool section of the book. He's talking about Mr. Bones. And he had said, he said that he imbued it with the general from the Clone Wars. It's like, oh, isn't that cool? He took, the essence of Anakin. And Pat says, what do you mean? Wouldn't you think it would be General Grievous? And my mind was blown, absolutely blown. So here you've got Mr. Bones, an extremely loyal B1 battle droid, killing and coming back to life and literally saving Snap Wexley in several occasions throughout the trilogy, having an essence of General Grievous, one of the coolest, and one of the most evil sort of quasi droids from the prequel trilogy imbued inside of him, which was just blew my mind when Pat said that.
So we mentioned a lot in this podcast here so far about the sentience of droids, kind of their role in the character creation and kind of grounding in the viewers. Next podcast, though, we're going to be on your guys' turf here on Conversations. And what do we have ahead here for the upcoming podcast?
Well, we've got droids and more droids.
and another DR word, drinks and more drinks.
More importantly, Chopper.
Oh boy.
Oh my gosh. We're going to dive into if he isn't your favorite droid yet, he should be and he will be. Chopper from Rebels, great droid. We also get to see a little bit more on kind of the character droids, the use of them as a plot device, and whatever the hell we feel like talking about. Guys, going to get in touch with Conversations, and you're going to listen to part two. Guys, Pat, Charles, can you tell them where they can find you on the interweb to best find this podcast?
Sure. Well, we have our mothership at conversations.com. You can find us on Twitter at Swations. You can also find us on Instagram at Conversations, and same thing with Facebook. And our podcast is found on most major podcatchers, of course, as Conversations, the Star Wars podcast. And we also have a Spreadshirt shop, which has been sorely neglected in the past few months, but there are a few gems on there, and we have a couple of other gems somewhere in the kitchen. We're just not finished there. But so we're basically everywhere you can find us.
And like usual, guys, you can get in touch with us at Pod Wars Podcast on Twitter or ask podwarspodcast@gmail.com. Please give us a nice 5-star review and mention your favorite droid and your favorite thing about Justice, because he is very underappreciated and he is a little nugget that deserves to be praised. And on that note, have a great week.